You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Feels like a Monday. Good morning. Back from, I don't want to say vacation because it's not. I mean, it's customary in the military. You know, you get a holiday and the military declares it's a 96, right? And that means you're going to get 4 days off. So that's like, I think most three-day weekends, at least for the military, are four-day weekends. So anyway, in case people were wondering where I was yesterday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah. There you go. That's it. So, anyway. It was nice not to... The worst part of doing All Marine Radio is finding guests, tracking down guests constantly. Okay, he on Monday, she on Tuesday, whatever on Wednesday. And when you don't have to do that for a while, it's like, it's peaceful. Yeah, all you have to do is like roam the planet. So anyway, on a Tuesday morning, welcome to All Marine Radio. Alex Holling's going to join us here. Normally joins us on Monday. And will join us today. And so we're going to talk about cancel culture, something that we're all watching, right, as it kind of careens and marauds through our culture. Like, what is this thing? So Alex will talk to us about that. And then where does it take us? Most importantly, where the hell does this shit show take us? So... We'll talk about that today with Alex here in about an hour. Had a conversation with some people from the VA yesterday about post-traumatic winning in the president's initiative, relative to veteran suicide. They listed the program's called Prevents, right? And this is as released from the White House. Bullet number 7, identify, evaluate, and promote community-based models that are effectively implementing evidence-informed mental health and suicide prevention programs across the country. In doing so, they should leverage relationships with community-based efforts, nonprofit organizations, faith-based organizations, veteran and military organizations focused on saving the lives of veterans. What does that sound like? Number 9, develop a coordinated interagency federal funding mechanism to support, provide resources for, and facilitate the implementation of successful evidence-informed mental health and suicide prevention programs. Evidence-informed, all right, mental health and suicide prevention programs focused on veterans and their communities at the state and local level. What does that sound like? So anyway, the chief of staff of the VA. Yeah, the chief of staff and the head of their suicide programs. Got on the phone with them yesterday and spent about an hour, and which will lead to more conversations with more people. So exciting. So I'm excited about that. And we will see where it goes. Keep your fingers crossed. Right, keep your fingers crossed. So, one never knows, and you keep plugging away, and hopefully, at some point, something good happens. So that yesterday, and those conversations are always interesting. That's what I did yesterday. As well as I become kind of an amateur botanist, right? A botanist, right? Everybody knows what a botanist is. You're kind of a flower person. Is that what a botanist is? I think so. So I've taken to planting flowers, perennials, just so you know. And so I don't know what you call my flowers. I should look them up. I should know what they are. Some of them are lavenders. So I like that purple and lavender color, and I like the look of it. And then some kind of look like yellow sunflower daisy kind of things. So anywho, I have one flower that's one bush. Because they're perennials, right? And that's struggling. And so I dug it up because I've learned something about planting. Yeah, that I didn't know. And so what I learned was if you plant it in the soil that's in your garden, it's probably too packed with clay and it's not going to thrive. Yeah, that's what I learned. And so it was struggling. Now I have another plant that struggled a little bit and then came back. And so I dug it up and I knocked off all the dirt that was surrounding the roots. I replanted it in much looser soil with, other things in it. And then my daughter-in-law said, Susie, I don't know if you listened to the cooking segment on Friday, but Susie said, I used Miracle-Gro, and she's from North Dakota, so she's got farming in her blood. Yeah, just because you breathe the air in North Dakota, that means you're a farmer. And so So Susie said, you might want to try Miracle-Gro. And she said, I did it. And good God, my tomato plants, they went Jack and the Beanstalk on me. And I went, Jack and the Beanstalk? Jack and the Beanstalk's a good deal. So anyhow, Colleen and I did that yesterday. So we did that. We had a great 4th of July. And neighbors down the street invited me to come to their little grill, their barbecue thing they were doing, which was nice. I have this really awesome like setup I do for 4th of July, and the reason it's awesome is that it looks great, and it takes maybe 10 minutes to set the whole thing up. Yeah, efficient. So what it is, it's just, I mean, stuff I have in the house. And I don't know where I got the big flag I have. I was thinking about that this morning. Like, where did I get that? And I don't know where I got it. And it might be, how it might be 15 feet by 10 feet, something like that. It's a large flag. Okay. Something like that. I'd say it's something like that. So that hangs like in front of the master bedroom window in the front of the house, right? And it hangs on the eaves, right? And it sits there. So that's the centerpiece. To the right of that, across a little walkway that leads to my front door, is a flag that's 3x5 that flew over Camp Fallujah before I left. So I got one for each of my kids. I have two left. And for my daughters when they move out. And then I have another one of those flags that I put up that sits between my Marine Corps flag and my American flag that fly on the flagpoles attached to my house. So, and then I was at Home Depot before Memorial Day, and they had this like bin of, you know, American flags, and those flags might be, I don't know, 18 inches by 12 inches, you know, just the ones on the sticks. So, I bought about six of those, and I stake out. Right. I stake out my property line from my next door neighbor, Rick. Yeah, because Rick's a Navy dude. So I got to make sure I appropriately denote. Right. I appropriately denote my property line. So anyway, but I mean, Colleen helps me when I put this stuff up, and So I put it, you know, the flags you stick in the ground, right? The flags go up with a staple gun, done. So they, you know, my neighbor saw, and they're like, hey, we never invited Mike down here. So I went down, and Colleen and I did, met some people I hadn't met before, which was always nice. So Colleen asked me, are we going to go? I said, you have to go. Somebody invites you, what are you going to do, not go and be an asshole? She's like, okay. And I said, you have to. So we went down there and had a good time. But I have to say this. I spent much of my 4th of July tending to Jack, the Wonder Dog, who does not do fireworks. Yeah, he... Now, Jack, because he's older than Joe, he influences the younger dog, okay? Joe is like 4 years old now. Now, Joe didn't used to be scared of fireworks. He is now because his older brother gets scared. And so the panic has spread to the other dog. Now, but he's not of the... Uh-oh. Stand by. A shooter has been cornered at the Marine Corps base in 29 Palms.
Reports of injuries at this time. We are receiving an update now that military police have the suspect cornered off and are in contact with him. There's a shelter-in-place order in effect. We're just getting that news now. We'll bring you updates as we get them. Meanwhile, Roger Stone making a last...
That's just in from the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center at 29 Palms. Yeah, Kanye West running for president. Anyway, back to my neurotic dog. He's not. So we're at the barbecue, and then we leave, and we say, I said, you know, well, if we go for a ride, he won't hear the fireworks, right? Because we'll be out of the neighborhood and stuff like that. And so Colleen and I hop in the car. We drive down to San Clemente. Jack kind of calms down, you know, and we grab something to eat. I want to move to San Clemente. I'm a huge fan of San Clemente. I think it's one of the prettiest little towns on the West Coast. And it's still got that small kind of beach thing going on, which I like. And then you can live on the hills overlooking the ocean. Yeah. So what I envision someday is when I'm doing this show, like right now, instead of looking over monitors at plaster, at drywall, right, and paint, that'll be a window that looks out over the ocean. Yes. So hopefully in 11 months, I'll move down there. But anyway, one never knows. So we go down there, we come home, and I have to say this. I don't know about you, but it's in Orange County, it sounded like Ramadi in 2004. Because there was no large displays of fireworks, everybody went out and got their own. Now, my first tip-off to this that it would be different was Saturday earlier in the afternoon, I went and helped out at the fireworks booth for Colleen's high school volleyball team. So my ex-wife called me. She summoned me. She said, I need your help. I said, okay. And she said, I probably need your truck to move the fireworks that are left over back to the warehouse where we get them from, blah, blah, blah. I said, all right. What time do you need me there? So she said 3 o'clock. So I show up at 3 o'clock. And so for the time I was there, the 2 hours I was there, all they did was sell boxes and boxes of fireworks. And the guy who'd done it for a dozen years showed up kind of to pick up all the stuff that wasn't fireworks related, right? So extension cords, flags, all kinds of stuff. So he said, we've never returned this amount of fireworks ever. It's always been like trucks of this stuff. And so, that was my first inkling that there was no big displays going on, so people would take things into their own hands. And they did. And so we get home from the ride, and Jack immediately launches back into his, and what he does is he starts panting, like, and he'll do that, for hours while the fireworks go on. It's like, okay. So, you know, we had been told Benadryl works, but it had never really worked in the past. And I don't know why. I thought it was just his anxiety is too great, and I don't want to, like, overdose my dog on Benadryl, for God's sakes. So we get home, and Colleen says, should we give him Benadryl? And I said, yeah. So Colleen gives him Benadryl. And then Colleen leaves to go out with her friends. And then Jack lays down next to me, and he like stops panting. And I thought, oh my God, the Holy Spirit has come down upon Jack. This is a miracle. Right? He was losing his mind. And so he laid next to me, and he was cool. So I wasn't sure if it was the Holy Spirit or if it was the Benadryl. And so I chose to believe it was the Holy Spirit. That's what I chose, that somehow or other the Holy Spirit descended upon Jack. And so He was cool the rest of the night. And let me tell you, honestly, it was absolutely amazing, the amount of fireworks. Again, and I talked to different people. A Napa man was working. And so I said, "Are you all hearing what I'm hearing?" And he's like, "Dude, you would not believe what's going on in Riverside." Right? "You would not believe what's going on in Riverside." I said, "This is like crazy." And he was like, "Oh my God, you should hear it out here." And so, that went on till well after midnight, right? Close to, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, like that. And Jack, he was just cool. I was like, "Whoa, what's going on? What's going on?" And so then the following night, Sunday night, it started up again, and he started up again. And Colleen says, "We should give him Benadryl." And then she left. And so Catherine was here. And so I said, "Do you know where the Benadryl is?" So we found it and gave it to him. And he immediately went to sleep about 10 minutes later. Now, which kind of bothered me, because then I knew it wasn't a miracle. It was the Benadryl. But it had never worked before. So, dog sitting, dogs that get really scared over fireworks. Not my most favorite thing to do, but, right, Jack's part of the team, so you got to do it. So, happy to report Jack's doing fine, right? Joe slept through, after he got over his initial panic, Joe slept through most of it. Breaking news, supposedly the Pentagon is going to come out and say that it will institute a policy that will ban the display of Confederate flags. The Marine Corps did this. General Berger did this. A month or so ago. I think the Navy followed suit. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about the Air Force or the Army doing anything with it. But anyhow, supposedly the DOD will recommend that, which will essentially put them in a position opposite of the President of the United States. I don't understand if the key to the President winning re-election is the middle third of the voting spectrum. I don't understand, the logic. First of all, when people say he's playing to his base, where's his base going to go? Where's his base going to go? They're going to vote for Joe Biden? I don't think so. And, for instance, his defense of the base is named for Confederate generals. All he has to say is, "Hey, look, I've got smart people running the Pentagon and the Army, and I trust them, and they're going to bring me recommendations, and I'll decide at that point." Okay? There's a long history in those names. There's reasons why those names were, those bases were named like that. And I think that all that should be considered in this rush to change those names. But whatever they recommend, I will take under advisement, and we'll decide. But he doesn't do that, right? He doesn't do that. And so, the same thing with the Indians and the Redskins. I think most reasonable people, will say, look, the Florida Seminoles, there's nothing, right? I get that that it's always been, you name your team after somebody that, you want to emulate. You don't name them after somebody that, you're ridiculing. And I get that. But I think most people would tell you that, yeah, it's probably time for those things to go. It's been a discussion in our country for a while, and maybe we should get beyond that. So anyway, when he comes out and defends those things, I don't know. I don't get it. Who is he playing to? How does that help him? in his attempt to get reelected. And I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I mean, he picked a fight, a Twitter fight, you know, with the NASCAR dude, saying that, you know, that was fake news. And you know what? There's an element of truth in what Donald Trump says, and there usually is. But fake news. And again, that noose is hanging in a garage at a NASCAR track. I don't think it would have taken but what, 10, 15 minutes, if you're in charge of that garage, to pick up the phone, to call the people that are running the track. And before we go external with this, knowing the sensitivity that people have and ought to have to things like nooses hanging, you know, in the vicinity of the only black NASCAR driver, maybe I should call the head of operations here at whatever speedway it was and find out who was using this garage and if this thing was here when they were here, because then I know it's not meant for us. How long would that have taken? That's two phone calls. Hey, Larry, there's a noose here in this garage. Has it been here for a while? Oh, hell, I don't know. I mean, there's only 80 garages. Yeah, I know. Hey, could you tell me who, you know, last week you had, you know, so-and-so event here. Could you tell me who was here in this garage? Oh, sure. It's these guys. Okay, yeah, I know them. Could you give me, you know, that guy's cell? Sure. Hey, Joe, this is Schmo. There's a noose hanging in here, and we're a little sensitive to things like that. Oh, yeah, it was in there last week. Okay, thanks. So to a certain extent, I think the president has a point. The assumption was that it was racist, and turns out that it had been in there since 2019. But why is he picking that fight with that guy? I don't see how it helps his cause. So to me, you know, I don't know, head shaking, right? Head shaking. Like, do you want Joe Biden to win? Yeah. So anyway, and the base thing and the Confederate flag thing. How do you defend, right? How do you defend it? Okay. How do you defend it? You know, and if somebody wants to say, hey, it's, you know, it's my First Amendment right. My great-great-great-great-grandfather fought in that war, right? He never owned a slave. I look at it as a symbol of the South that, you know, has been kind of this symbol of what it is to be Southern for a long time. And nobody's, right? Okay, well, you got a right. All right, I get it. Okay, but if you're not that guy, how do you defend it? And, you know, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. In the interest of, right, quote-unquote, binding the wounds, right, accommodations were made to the South as the United States got put back together. And they were allowed, because of that, they were allowed to erect monuments, which initially they were not, and to celebrate. And they evolved the narrative, right, into a states' rights issue. And for the people that say, oh, Mac, you know, look, I mean, I grew up with that narrative. But the problem is when you start reading the documents, you know, that they published when they seceded from the Union, that's not what they say. They don't focus on states' rights. They focus on slavery as the core issue. So anyway, how do you defend it? But again, it's issues that are you know, ridiculous, and you can't intellectually defend them. And let me tell you what's really painful. And do you remember when Sarah Huckabee used to have to go in front of reporters and try to explain, you know, the logic in the president's Twitters? Do you remember how, watching that? I mean, how painful. Well, now the new girl, who's snarkier, right, and more combative than Sarah Sanders was. I mean, I saw about 5 minutes before, five seconds before I walked out of the room about her trying to do the same thing. I'm like, okay, just stop already. Please, just make it go away. So the yeah. Don't attempt to justify the Twitter account, okay? That's him with his flamethrower out. Some interesting little tidbits from the weekend. Do you know that you can't buy a gun in the country? Yeah, go out and try to buy any popular model, shape, size, or series and see what you get. Can't find it. Interesting. Here's another one. Do you know, so I'm reading yesterday, as I'm prone to doing, if you look at a couple different graphs, one is daily new cases, and I'll put this in the this hour's post, daily new cases, okay, the graph. Now, for those of you who aren't graph people, I am, having studied the lofty science of economics. Poetic justice, right? The Associated Press just reported that Brazil's president has COVID-19. That guy has been like, yeah, this thing's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Anyway. So he now has COVID-19. I shouldn't have laughed. I apologize for doing that. But daily new cases, right? So it's a 7-day average. So it takes out, you know, the precipitous, like, ups and downs, and gives you kind of a more gentle slope, which is indicative of longer looking at it with a little bit longer view. All right. So the rolling average is now at 52,000 cases, right? And it's on a line. It's increasing since about the first week of June, when much of the country came out of this, at about a 45-degree angle. So pretty steep slope. Okay, so riddle me this, Batman. What do you think the daily new deaths 7-day average is? Would you say it's declining, it's rising, or it's going sideways? How about that it's declining? So if I use the same period, actually, it's been declining since probably the third week of April, April 20th. Would represent kind of the high spot in the graph. Since then, it's gone from daily deaths of over 2,000 to daily deaths of about, it looks like about 500. And even though we're on an increase in cases of 45 degrees, right? And it's gone from June 9th, about 21,000, 22,000, to July 4th of over 50,000. So more than doubling. Okay? More than doubling. In that same period of time, the daily deaths have gone from 1,000 today, from 1,000 per day, to approximately 500 a day. That has been cut in half. So what does that mean? What that means is, as we've resumed our lives, right, in the imperfect way that we've done it, by not following the rules, I know because I see that all the time, Americans aren't cooperating like they should, and they should. I believe that. I mean, this is deadly for people that are vulnerable. And so I think we all have a responsibility to play on the team and do reasonable things. When we come in contact with people that are at risk. And so You know, and I know people that are Will Cosentini don't wear a mask, adamant about it. Okay. Then you better be careful when you come in contact with people that are very vulnerable to this. Okay. So, but you don't see this story in the news. I saw it yesterday in the New York Post. It comes from a, website called, is it Mediate? M-E-D. I'll find the article. But it said things you don't see, right, in the media on a daily basis. And, you know, the thrust of the article was, the thrust of this article is that we're not hearing anything about the fact that the death rate continues to go down. So that there is some success in segregating off those people that are most vulnerable. And that even though we've begun to resume our lives and the number of cases is going up, the number of fatalities is actually going down. We haven't read that. So the question is why? Why haven't we read that? And again, I would tell you one of the things that ails our nation is, you know, a media that is going to report white hot stories so that you will click on them, so they can turn that into a data point on an advertising rate sheet, so they can increase what they charge you. They can justify raising their revenue rates. Yeah. And so that kind of toxic cocktail leads to all kinds of different things. And one, it's they don't pursue the truth. And I think you see this horrible thing happening in the country where so if you know the truth, and let's just say the truth about police shootings of black men, okay, if you know the truth about that, you'll know the narrative is bullshit. You know, you see people go on TV and talk about this genocide that the cops are, you know, that the cops are, you know, are, you know, executing on black males. Now, let me tell you, when you rip into the problem, right, what you'll see concluded in study after study is that, you know, your probability to be dealt with severely by the police is determined by, one, the number of contacts you have, two, the amount of resistance that there is relative to the police, and whether you're armed or not. So when you take those three factors, there you go. Okay? And that race is not a significant factor. Now, that study after study after study after study. Well, why doesn't anybody stand up and say that? Why aren't there adults? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the media doesn't give a shit about reporting the truth. And then you have politicians in this country that are scared shitless to do what they're supposed to do. Is they're supposed to stand up and tell the truth, and they're supposed to be leaders. But we know politicians are just elected human beings. They're not leaders. Now, normally, we can get away with that. Sometimes, we can't. And this is a point in our time where we can't. So you need people to stand up and say, hey, look, the inconvenient truth in all of this is this. Okay? Now, can the police be better? Yes. And we need to take a look at how do we get to that place. But if you look at a 5-year trend line, these shootings have come down every year. And once you apply the footnotes, we're talking about less than 5 in the nation. That's nothing in this nation. Of what, 325 million people? Okay, but I think we can all agree that it's something that we should look at. But if Black Lives Matter, then there's other things that we should look at. Black on black murder rates that we saw over the weekend. Hell, the governor of Georgia is calling out the National Guard because of the number of shootings in Atlanta. Now, I'm not sure what the National Guard's going to do to prevent any of that. And so we'll see. But I think it's incredibly disturbing when you live in a country and people won't stand up and tell the truth because they'll get canceled. And that's what you're watching over and over. Defund the police. Defund the police. That home, I mean, so whatever we do ought to come out of some task force meeting, not some overheated, right, politically driven chicken shit meeting, which we're placating the mob. And that's essentially what it is. So you have this toxic cocktail of weak leaders, of media that doesn't pursue the truth. It is the white hot story. And again, Alex Hollings, you know, explained it. Like, why is Fox News doing, right, the website? Why are they doing Liz Hurley bikini pictures? Okay. Why? Here you go, FoxNews.com. Elizabeth Hurley poses in a bikini to promote whatever. Fox News, right? Elizabeth Hurley, 54, shares throwback bikini snap. Why is Fox News doing Liz Hurley? Well, Alex explains it. You have to do, right? You have to do click porn because it pads your numbers. So this whole commercial enterprise of the news is now, right, enslaved to profit more than they're enslaved to the truth. And the New York Times, supposedly the gray lady of the newspaper business, right? This I don't dare say paragon of virtue, but it's this this beacon in the world of journalism. They roll over and fire their op-ed page editor because he prints an op-ed that people in that newspaper disagreed with. Even though they publish shit from Vladimir Putin, from Maduro, from Precep, all those dictators, a United States senator, and then it has the balls to try to paper it with, it didn't meet our journalistic standards. Bullshit, man. And this goes on like in front of God and everybody, right? Today's version of the Emperor's New Clothes. And where are the leaders that stand up and say, okay, this isn't right? I put a video up on the website. I think I initially screwed it up, but I think it's unscrewed now. And if you go and look to, I believe it was last Friday, it says news and commentary. Seeing Barbecue Chicken University made me smile for America. And in there is the story that I was talking about. But what I can't find is the interview clip that I saw that made me go look for this story. And it's men in the neighborhood, and all the men I see in the picture are all black. The kids are from all different races that you're seeing. And what they're doing is they say, we're tired of watching our kids play video games, so they got cones, and they take the kids out, and they run them, and they do agility drills. It looks like football practice, right? It looks like football practice before you put pads on. And they're racing, and they're doing all kinds of things. So, and then more and more kids came out. The cops got called. The cops rolled up. The cops met these guys doing this stuff. The cops met the kids. So they're interviewing the kid on Fox News. Brian Kilmeade was interviewing him. And the kid, he looks at the kid and said, what have you learned? And he said, I've learned that all cops aren't bad. That you should get to know them, and you know, and the kid talks about meeting a police officer and what they've learned and whatnot. And so at some point towards the end, Brian Kilmeade looks at the kid and he says, how, you know, you're really lucky to have a dad like this, right? And the kid looks at him and says, yes, sir. And you're like, come on, man, you gotta be kidding me. But that's how it works. Now let me tell you, that's our country. Okay, that's our country. working at that fireworks booth, dealing with people, you know, everybody's social distances. Most people are really polite, right? Flying coast to coast. Alls I met were people that were helpful. And yet alls we see on TV are the biggest idiots in this country. Why is that? Well, it's cherry-picked video so that you and I will both watch it. And but what it does is it creates this narrative that this is what's real in our country, and it's not. That's the anomaly. And then what happens is you get people who take the anomaly, say it's the rule, and then this whole cancel culture thing whips up, and then are the people that quote unquote lead communities, are they going to stand up to it? No. No. There was a headline over the weekend about a Formula One event, and the headline was this: 6 drivers didn't kneel. That was it. Not that 16 did. It was that 6 didn't, singled out because obviously they're racist, right? Well, what happens if they don't believe in that? What happens if they don't believe that they should disrespect something, right, in order to respect something else? What happens if they're conflicted about that, right? The American case in point was the soccer player who had family members who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. And she chose to stand during the national anthem. I mean, vilified across the nation by this mob thing. But again, most distressing is that the narrative in this country is put forward by media that have one allegiance, and that is to their wallet. They don't give a shit. And in terms of journalistic integrity and pursuing the truth, man, I don't know. That may exist in some university someplace, but if you look at reality, it ain't the way it is. It's money before everything else. Everything else. And so, and then weak leaders. And I've said this for years on this program, but the biggest problem in the United States is we have leaders that are supposed to be leaders that are not. And they're in those positions, and all they do is they run from it. And the guy in New York City, I mean, New York City's had an incredible uptick in shootings and murders, right? He said that it had to do with everybody's frustration over COVID-19. Nothing to do with the way he's treated the police department or whatnot. And you just watch it, and you're like, are you shitting me? How is this guy in any kind of leadership position? And the answer is, he can be in a leadership position until he's got to be a leader. And then at that point, right, he's got to go. Because he can't do it. I mean, the woman in Seattle, joke. She took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. She took an oath to the people, to the citizens of Seattle. But it was okay with her if your 6 blocks were overtaken. But when they got close to her house, within hours, she shut the whole thing off. Well, that's interesting. Was it a coincidence, Mayor? Oh, I'm sure it was, right? Had nothing to do with the fact that they encroached on you and your family. So, and again, the question is, so what turns it around? When does the truth, and I mean, the president, what the fuck is that guy doing? Why doesn't he create a task force? Why don't they televise it? Why don't they say, okay, look, you know, we're going to have police unions there. We're going to have police officers there. We're going to have community leaders there. We're going to have politicians there. Okay, we're going to have experts, right, on these topics that we're going to look at. And the first one we're going to look at is we're going to look at the trend of police shootings in this country. And we're going to look at it in front of the whole fucking country. Because, you know, the truth, for whatever reason, ain't getting out there. So we're going to look at it. We're going to have credible both members of, you know, you probably couldn't get a Democrat to join the group, but we're going to have credible members, right, on this task force. And we're going to look at it. And we're going to put this in front of the American people. and we're going to look at inner city poverty rates. We're going to look at what keeps people there. Is it the inability to read in fourth grade? Then we got to fucking change that. And we can't leave it to the governors and the mayors of these cities, because it hadn't happened in 50 years. Right? The definition of insanity, continuing to do the same things, hoping for a different outcome. Not going to do it. Something's got to fucking give. Right? Something's got to fucking give. So, you know, then pregnancy rates. Latino and black pregnancy rates are multiples of what the Asian and white pregnancy rate is. Why? Can we not figure that out? Can we not sit down, you know, in health class and say, look, if you do this, right, if you do this, you put great difficulty in front of your life's path. And it's the only life you're going to get to have in this world. You get one lap around the track. Right? You get one lap around the track. Would you sit down and consider these things so that you can live a great life? We can't conquer that. I mean, it's disturbing. We can't even get to that fucking conversation, man. Because nobody, we don't have enough people in this country that will stand up and tell the truth, and people that are in leadership positions that will lead. What rules the day is mob behavior. Scream loud, cancel people, right? Get them fired, right? Again, and I'll give you another one. Here's another form of tyranny, right? Black Lives Matter, right? If you will not say that on demand, right, you can be fired. You won't say it, right? You'll be canceled. And if you have the unmitigated gall as a Christian to stand up for what you believe and say, hey, of course Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter. I'm a Christian. That's what I believe. No. You don't get it. Black Lives Matter. No, I do get it. All lives matter. If you say that, you'll be branded a racist and you'll be fired. And you've seen people that do it. And then they go back on social media and try to apologize for what they did. I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't get it. Get what? That all lives matter? I mean, huh? So, anyway, good morning on this Tuesday morning, the 7th day of July. I want to end this on a positive note, right? Is that there's a guy named Marcellus Bennett. Is that his name? And I've heard about this from different people. No. His name's Marcellus Wiley. And he got in the news yesterday, right? Or here recently, and he's a former NFL football player, right? And very good one. He blasted, you know, the NBA's plan to paint Black Lives Matter on the court, and in a very articulate way, he takes it on. Okay, and so to me, what we need is more people that will get to the truth so that we can get to solutions on these complex problems that have ailed our nation, right? And just know this, there's no other nation close to us relative to these issues. Nobody. All you got to do is travel around the world and you'll come back kissing the ground relative to racial equality. Look, when you've elected a black man president twice, and when the fastest growing demographic in your nation's census is mixed race families, then I think that's kind of sort of speaks for itself. Now, is it nirvana? No. But let me tell you, you know, two things that, you know, that I've been raised on since I was a little kid. One is the truth, and two is leadership. Sorely lacking in our country. Sorely lacking in our country. Honestly, it's nauseating to watch the garbage that gets put into the media. Nauseating. And let alone, you know, it gets quote unquote reported by reporters. So anyway, good morning to you. I'm not going to get to do the news this morning because of this. What I have done though is I've shut off the TV and I've stopped watching, you know, as much news. I will tell you this. Read the Wall Street Journal. Read the Wall Street Journal, and get your news from there and the Associated Press. They have apps. They'll, you know, buzz you with headlines and things like that. And it would be, I think it does something for your sanity. If your news consumption comes through a TV, it's going to drive you crazy. It's going to drive you crazy. And just, again, know this, and I've said this for years. This is not something that I've said recently. The freak show that is on the nightly news is not the nation that you live in. Right? It's not the nation you live in. Those are idiots that get on TV, and now it's horrible because everybody's got a video camera. And now that when some shit happens, the first thing that happens is everybody pulls out a cell phone and starts filming. The first time I ever saw that was in the San Francisco earthquake. And I saw, you know, on the Bay Bridge, some asshole got out of his car and had like one of those VHS cameras that you used to put on your shoulder. He gets out of his car and he's filming cars go by. And there's no bridge. The span had toppled. And I said, you know what? If I'd have stopped my car, I'd have gone back and I'd have grabbed that camera and I'd have beat the shit out of him with it. Like, you're supposed to be stopping people, asshole. But that's not what we do anymore. Now, whenever the cops stop, man, they're like movie stars. Poosh, cameras come out. Right? Yeah, if you're a cop and you haven't got the memo that you're not getting away with shit, then you ain't paying attention. And I don't know who'd want to be a cop. I have a nephew that's a cop. I'm on his ass every month. Get another job. Find another place of law enforcement to do it. Get out of the first responder business because it's a bad business. It's a bad business. So, I mean, also, since I have like 4 days of pent up shit inside of me, I'm also headed to Montana. And if you have any Miracle-Gro like stories, like if, hey, Mac, use this on your ailing plant, I've got an email here. Hey, happy to see you figured out how to plant something. What a dumbass. In order for the roots to grow, it's got to have loose dirt around it, not packed in clay that's been like that for a billion years. Hello? Sorry, I mean, I'm not a botanist. I don't know. But I'm figuring it out, and I do like my flowers. Yeah, I do like my flowers. So much so that I bought a couple shades for my patio so that I could be out there more. In the late afternoon, sun comes down, you get this blinding sun. I took care of that yesterday. Good morning to you. Again, I'll do a few news headlines here after we play the national anthem. And keep your fingers crossed for post-traumatic winning. And if you're prone to pray for things like this, although I don't think you can pray for things like this. If you are prone to do things like that, though, don't be afraid. I know the power of what I convey to people. And it's not, they're not my words, not my thought. It is the post-traumatic wisdom of our veteran culture, of this Marine culture, which is one of the things I love about it most. And one of the things I have in my head is a woman by the name of Stacy, whose husband was an officer in the United States Air Force. She was Brigadier General Select, and he had a massive heart attack and died 2 months ago. And she told me, and she has 5 kids. And when she called me, she said, "Mac, do you think you can talk to me? Do you think you can help me? Because I want to be a post-traumatic winner." And I said, "Of course I can." And she said, "Right." She said, "As I've got my kids help, and you know, I've looked into things for myself. The only thing I hear in my head is the words that you said at post-traumatic winning. And I've sat through a lot of this stuff, but I keep hearing your words." And so here's a woman. She's never served in the military. She'd been a spouse, and she's facing the death of her husband, who died in her home in front of her children. She's got to move on with her life, and she is, and she reaches out. And so the power of that to help people, I know. And so just hoping that, you know, the right door can get open. And I told him yesterday, all I want is a chance, right? Just give me a chance, and you'll see. You'll see the power of this. And so keep your fingers crossed. All right. So the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official the 7th day of July. Good morning to you. This is dedicated with fingers crossed, with hands together in prayer, that somebody somewhere opens a door, and that the words of the pragmatic blue collar approach to living a life, a great life with trauma, gets a chance. So this is dedicated to that today. We have fun.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We got to win, right? That's the whole deal. You got to win. And you can't win if you're afraid of the truth, and you can't win if you won't fight for it, and you sure as hell can't win if you don't have leaders. And, you know, last weekend was a reminder of, you know, in our nation's history, we had people like that stood up and pledged their lives, their fortunes, right, and their freedom to each other. Now, I will tell you this, right? It's not like they were without flaw, okay? And when you lay the issue of slavery over the top of it, slavery was legal in the world, okay? It was legal in the world that they lived in. And so we're going to negate our history because people did something that was legal? And now, 200 and how many years later, we're going to cancel the history of an imperfect nation because of our righteous indignation? Our history is our history, and it's flawed, filled with flawed people, okay? But that is the path of the greatest nation on the planet, the most free, most advanced civilization on the planet, or part of a civilization on this planet. And just throw it all out. That's not the way you do it. You look at the truth, you see it for what it is, you tell the whole story, and you learn from it. That's the way it goes. And for people that make mistakes, right? Everybody gets a second chance. What are we taught since we were kids, right? Own it, right? Accept responsibility for it. If you need to apologize, apologize, and then make it right. Right? A mistake on your Twitter account 20 years ago, and you get fired from your job? I mean, what country is that? That's scary shit right there. Right? That's out-of-control mobs running countries. And is that what we have in this country? You think, Mac? Yeah, I think. Anyway. I digress. Currently, in the nation's capital, as well as down in Quantico, it is mostly sunny and 83. Camp Lejeune is mostly sunny and 82. 29 Palms, a little bit warmer than last week. Sunny and 89 degrees. And if you're just tuning in, there's an active shooter. And I use the term shooter loosely. An active armed suspect that's been cornered at Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Station in 29 Palms. The base is in a lockdown, and we're standing by for more information on that. So that breaking news this morning. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, cloudy in 69. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, sun's coming up, and partly cloudy and 72. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 83. In Afghanistan, evening falling, clear in 93. And in Iraq, it is sunny and 109 in the Al Anbar province. At the home of All Marine Radio here in beautiful Southern California, where, let me tell you, the weather over the weekend was picturesque. Yeah, you could look that up and try to spell it if you want to. It's currently 70 degrees. Under mostly sunny skies today, right now. And looking for a high today of 79. Low overnight of 65. Yeah, very nice. Open window sleeping. On Wednesday, 76. Thursday, 77. Friday, 80. And then I head to Montana for about a week. So, yeah, Montana for about a week. Going to do post-traumatic winning with the Bar X guys. So you'll hear me broadcasting. You'll hear Montana, man. Yeah, so it'll be looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. So anyway, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, to the news we go. Alex Holling is going to join us here in a few minutes. Stars and Stripes headline. Police responding to reports of an active shooter on 29 Palms. Military police are responding to reports of an active shooter at the Air Ground Combat Center. The Marine Corps confirmed on Tuesday. The report says there are no injuries. Military police responded to reports of gunshots at approximately 6:30 a.m. and cordoned off an area. We cannot confirm a suspect is in custody at this time, according to Captain Joseph Butterfield, Marine Corps spokesman, said in an email. So, now, I'll tell you, the way to follow this, in case you don't know how to do this, is if you just put something like 29 palms, right? And you do a search on it. And so you'll see a lot of retweets, but occasionally, right? Occasionally, you'll see somebody who posts something because they're there. Something like this: suspect is in custody. No ID on the suspect yet. So if you go to Twitter and you just type in hashtag 29 palms, you'll follow the what people are posting, and what you're really looking for is somebody who's there. So you scroll through this stuff and. Check it out. But so that's breaking news this morning. So that's at the top of the fold of Stars and Stripes. There was a soldier that was arrested in the last 30 days. We talked about the story a little bit, but he was planning with a neo-Nazi group an ambush of his own unit as they prepared to deploy to Turkey from Germany. He's pled not guilty. Nice. The VA is approaching a historically high $250.9 billion budget. And post-traumatic winning is hoping to clip some money to go help people. So part of that is in the news. The other part is just a private sentiment. Marines order Okinawa base to shelter in place after several tests positive for the coronavirus. And that is at the Marine Corps Air Station in Futima aboard the island of Okinawa. There's a party in... This is kind of shit that's in Stars and Stripes. I'm not sure we need Stars and Stripes anymore, honestly. And I've read it as I've been deployed around the world. But, I mean, with the state of the internet these days... I never picked up a paper copy of Stars and Stripes in Iraq or Afghanistan. And when I had access to the internet, it's not really the place I went to for news. Well, I go there because it's, you know, it tends to be military and DOD news. But anyway, but more top headlines, right? U.S. troops accused of wreaking havoc on a July 4th party in South Korea. Evidently, they caused a ruckus. Wonder if alcohol had something to do with it. Sadly, the body of a Marine... missing off the coast of southern Japan over the July 4th holiday was recovered. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Sergeant Tyler Rankin of Kansas City, Missouri. So, news. So what does that tell you? Other than thing at 29 Palms, relatively slow news day from just the news. This is the website, just the news, right? Anyway, in a shocking poll, half of those polled say that they believe there will be a violent bid to overthrow the U.S. government in the next decade. And they believe that it is somewhat likely. How about that? Somewhat likely that there'll be a violent overthrow. And a violent attempt to overthrow the United States government. And I have to tell you, I mean, there's more and more people that you meet that have never held the position that I'll buy a gun. I know in my own family that, you know, people looking to purchase guns who've never owned guns in their lives. And I'll give you a quote from one of them. I'm not buying this because of the riots. I'm buying this because, you know, of the lawlessness and the police aren't coming. And it's this sentiment that you just read about in the poll. My other favorite, actually my true favorite news site is the Wall Street Journal. Let me tell you what the Wall Street Journal is talking about this morning. TikTok to exit Hong Kong as U.S.-China tensions increase. Now, this is real interesting because TikTok is a Chinese company, and my daughters do it all the time. They like post dance videos, so you see people dancing on TikTok. That's what they do, right? It's been alleged that TikTok is a way that the Chinese monitor and take data and monitor different populations around the world. So anyway, TikTok to exit Hong Kong as U.S.-China tensions increase. So what happened was the United States hinted that these companies, right? Now, China wants data on Hong Kong users of different applications. Google, Microsoft, Facebook have all said, yeah, we're not entertaining those issues anymore, those requests anymore from the Chinese to gather data on these people, right? And let me tell you this: one of the horrible things is the extent to which companies like Facebook, Google, and Twitter hand over data to totalitarian governments so they can operate and make money in those countries. That's horrible. But anyway, they put lipstick on that pig and tell you that, oh no, we're not helping totalitarian governments, do bad things. Of course not. We would never do that. Do you hire black people as your executives? Oh, we don't do that either. Thank you. Anyway, but are you afraid to lecture everybody else about what they should do? Oh no, of course not. Got it. That would be called a hypocrite. Yes, your point. My point, you're a hypocrite. Shut up already. Anyway, so it's interesting. But the U.S. hinted that they were considering limiting access to the app in the United States. So TikTok has withdrawn from Hong Kong. Interesting, huh? Interesting. The United States has committed $2 billion for COVID-19 vaccine. The federal government awarded $2 billion to two drug makers to support development and manufacture of an experimental drug and a potential vaccine against COVID-19. How about that? How about that? So those are headlines for the Wall Street Journal. Marine Corps Times, as you might expect, top story in that publication. Actually, there's no mention of the incident at 29 Palms, so I take that back. Interesting. There's a headline, there's a story about General Nellor. Nellor regrets failure to ban Confederate battle flag during his time as commandant. Talked about an article. You could listen to the interview, which is where I thought he got the quote from. Anyway, Nellor talks about his regret for not banning the Confederate flag. Marine Corps deactivates Combat Logistics Regiment as part of the Commandant's vision of the future. So the Commandant, General Berger's plan goes forward. There's an article that's pretty interesting that we'll talk about on Thursday with the Tim and Jeff and Will. And then there's kind of a disturbing story in Marine Corps Times. Former DOD official who claimed fraud in suicide prevention office wins whistleblower retaliation case. More than half a decade after she publicly accused the DOD's Suicide Prevention Office of fraud and conflicts of interest, its former director has come out on top in a whistleblower retaliation case. Jackie Garrick, a career social worker, civil servant, and former Army officer, had been fighting for her federal retirement benefits after being removed from her job at the DOD. On May 11th, a judge with the Merit Systems Protection Board ruled that she had been subjected to a hostile work environment. She had pointed out a conflict of interest around a DOD official funneling a contract to her former employer, a strategic communications firm, then replacing Garrick with the official's mentee. I didn't even know that was a real word, mentee. I've heard it used, but I thought it was just something made up. That would be somebody I'm mentoring, right? I'm the mentor, they're the mentee. After several contracts were canceled or nullified. So that's a little bit disturbing. Can't even do that right. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then we'll get to Alex Hollings today. And I appreciate your patience. Number one, Pentagon drafts a policy that would ban Confederate flag displays. So again, much like the Marine Corps policy, it is the public display at work of this thing, right? And I believe it also says that on your vehicle as well. Although that's, again, there's a First Amendment thing here that they can't infringe on. What you do at work, they can't. Number two story. But again, the big deal about that is the President of the United States, what is he going to do? He's gonna go to bat for the Confederate flag now? I don't get it. Does he not want to win a second term? Number two, lawmakers urge Pentagon Inspector General to investigate the handling of Specialist Vanessa Guillen's case. She went missing. Her remains were found. Like, why do we need an investigation of that? Anyway, number three, U.S. envoy arrives in South Korea as North Korea rejects new talks. So that's soap opera continues. Number four, black U.S. cadets say they were called the N-word and shunned for reporting discrimination at West Point. Number five, Harker takes over as the acting Pentagon controller. And then some overseas operations. Two U.S. carriers are operating in the South China Sea. Air Force B-52s have joined them at the same time that the Chinese Navy is in the region. So the United States, right, flexing its muscles in the face of China, right? And in terms of naval power, it's not close, right? Beijing is ready to counter the U.S. as both navies hold drills in the South China Sea. Another story. Now, this is a propaganda war relative to Germany. Germany spent over $1 billion to cover costs linked to U.S. troops. Right. What did the U.S. spend on defense that would benefit the people of Germany? You want to put a dollar figure on that? How many billions is that? I'm anti-German. I'm anti-Germany, man. Germany is Russia's enabler on the continent. Headline, it was totally like a foreign country. South Koreans angered by U.S. troops firing fireworks and brawling in the streets. Okay. All right. Hey, I will tell you what. There was a great article in the Wall Street Journal about North Korean, the North Korean military. Yeah, it was awesome. And it's a pretty in-depth interview with a recent defector, somebody who's in one of their elite units and got sent down to guard the DMZ. And then made his escape across the DMZ. Yeah, it's amazing. The corruption, you know, how you buy your way out of, you know, going to things, how you buy your way out of training, all that kind of stuff. And the article insinuates that the North Korean military, bit of a hollow man. Yeah, interesting. Final, like, operational headline is this. Southcom commander describes Chinese and Russian threats in the Americas. Great power threats that exist in the Western Hemisphere look different than those in other parts of the globe, U.S. Southcom commander Craig Fowler told the Washington Examiner. With China seeking ports rights and technological penetration, and Russia increasing disinformation and intelligence gathering. So, again, things we've seen around the rest of the world are coming to the Western Hemisphere. And China, right, will help you build your port, your airport, but if you default on your payments, which struggling nations tend to do, we own that shit for 100 years. Yeah, so there's the Chinese way. So, with that said, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. And Alex Hollings coming in about 90 seconds. So don't touch that dial.